Jesus begins with the sheep and the goats, saying, "The Son of Man will divide them," he says. How will they be differentiated? How will we know which one we are? Are we sheep or are we goats? We ask ourselves, one another, and perhaps our spiritual advisors. We want to know which we are, because we want to know, ultimately, where we'll be in the end. It isn't just, am I a sheep, but am I with the sheep? We want to know because we really, deep down, are not that sure. The pious young man comes to mind here. What must I do to inherit eternal life? He asks Jesus. Now, in this morning's context, it may be, what do I have to do, or what must I do to be one of the sheep? How do I do it? And how do I know if I've done it? Jesus tells that young man to sell his stuff, give the money to the poor, and follow him. Well, the young man, of course, doesn't like that answer, and most of the time, neither do we, if we're being honest, because we have a lot of stuff, too. In that story, Jesus speaks to this young man who has everything and has done everything he has been told to do, right? But what he's lacking is certainty. And he wants Jesus to give him certainty. And instead, Jesus offers the young man community. He offers him a place at this table with new friends. He offers him relationship and opportunity and instruction. He offers him the chance to come in from the cold of solitude and join in a mission that demands a whole community of people. The young man, of course, doesn't want that. He wants what he wants, not what Jesus offers him, even, of course, if it is more valuable than the certainty he asks for. Now, this time, Jesus is telling his disciples not so much what they must do, but what people they must become. Not in solitude or independence, but together. Right? Who will you be? We want that kind of certainty, don't we? Right? That's why we regularly argue with one another about what Jesus would or would not do, or who Jesus would or would not condemn, or where we may or may not be going in the relatively near future. Jesus does not offer certainty. He offers opportunity. We talked last week about endurance, right? Jesus has set up this whole sequence in the gospel with these disciples and describing what they will live through and endure when the Son of Man comes, and then it's coming soon, right? He elaborates this in a couple of parables, right, about bridesmaids who are expected to wait for a groom, and slaves who are given talents by a wicked master. Now, these ideas, waiting and expecting and enduring, are such human problems, aren't they? We know them. We know what it's like to wait and expect and endure, and it really isn't fun. Because so much of our life and our faith is full now of uncertainty. We require it. We require certainty of our tradition in one another. And most of all, we require it of our devoted one, our Creator, our Savior, our Liberator, our Redeemer. we confuse the very name of God, which is revealed to Moses in the burning bush. Eyah, Asher, Eyah. Three letters. We say, I am who I am. We say that God is the great I am, permanent and unchanging. But the scripture, the rest of scripture, all of scripture, reveals a different God than the one we so often proclaim, a God who is willing to change the plans simply because Lot asks for it. A God who is so moved by the people, a God that changes course, a God that picks and finds these people that are so lovely to God, from Abraham to David, on down. That God is willing to protect and redeem their families even when they royally screw up. God, who is revealed in those words, not as permanence, but as something that will be. Everett Fox translates those three letters, those words, Eyah, Asher, Eyah, as instead, I will be there, howsoever I will be there. I will be in the way that I will be. I will be up this mountain when you come back from visiting Pharaoh, and I will be at the parting of the sea, and I will be in your midst in a cloud, right? And we know that God would later be with the prophets and the judges, with David and the rulers, with the leaders in exile, and with those people stuck at home, with the people that were conquered and with the people who are liberated. God is there. And we sure as everything know that God would come to be in the form of a human being that would walk the earth and become known to us as Jesus. I will be there. That God would be in the form of tongues of fire and in a mighty wind and in all of these ways that have directed us in Scripture. I will be there. This is the coming of the Son of Man. The certainty is found in God's coming to us, in God's presence with us, not in the form, not in the power, not in the tradition, not in the ways we demand God coming to us. God will be here howsoever God will be here. Jesus tells us powerfully that if God is this king, then the way God will be known is through ministering to the least of these who are members of my family. The hungry, the thirsty, the stranger, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned. Not that God is a certain group of people, but that God is found in serving. Full stop. Stanley Hauerwas writes, it is significant that the righteous have not known that when they ministered, provided hospitality, and visited, that they did all of this to Jesus. They have done what God would have us to do, and so doing have ministered to Christ himself. All people, whether they are Christian or not, know all they need to know to care for the least of these. The difference between followers of Jesus and those who do not know Jesus is that those who have seen Jesus no longer have any excuse to avoid the least of these. When we ask about being the sheep or the goats, or more precisely, we argue over who counts as a sheep and who counts as a goat, in our society and in our churches, we're asking the wrong question. It's not about knowing. It's about what we do when we aren't paying any attention to who we are supposed to be. It's not about the rules when we know people are watching. It's about who we are when we aren't even sure of what the rules are to begin with. And Hauerwas rightly points out that the stakes are even higher for us when we do know the rules. This gospel, right, this work that we are to do is not about certainty about God or certainty about how good we are with God. It's certainty that God will be with us. Because God will be with us when we are hungry and thirsty and strangers and naked and sick and imprisoned. God will be with us when we ignore those who are suffering and need our help. Right? And God will be with them too. Because they're in the family. This is where God hangs out. And where God promises to be found. And we're called to go there and find God there. Not where we want to go find God, but where God is. The Bishop of Rome, Pope Francis, addressed this United Nations Conference on Nutrition this past week. And demanded that we not only acknowledge suffering, but that we do something about it. He said, "It is also painful to see that the struggle against hunger and malnutrition is hindered by market priorities, the primacy of profit, which have reduced foodstuffs to a commodity like any other, subject to speculation also of a financial nature." Francis reminds us the way Jesus reminds his disciples that the real question, not the question we want to ask or think we are supposed to ask, but the question God is hoping we'll ask is this one. How can I best love God? That's the question Jesus answers. And his answer is not comfort the comfortable, it is comfort the afflicted. Right? Feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked. The least of these in our midst are the powerless, and Jesus' concern today, here, is not with how we treat people generically, but how we treat the powerless specifically. That is our certainty. It is found being where God is, where God says God will be. It isn't found in our stated beliefs or creeds or our political affiliation or perhaps what our Sunday school teachers taught us about God. It's about how we treat the powerless and the defenseless. That's the story. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. Right? We have to know that piece. We don't get one shot at righteousness. We get a chance every day, every single day, a chance to be thankful, a chance to be thoughtful, a chance to show how much we love God. By loving this creation and all of God's family. Even those black sheep we gather with on Thursday. And the goats.